There is a network of river in the realm of the spirit that flows. It's a network. Just like the placenta is connected to the mother. That's the connection between the baby and the mother. There is a river that flows in every child of God. For some people, their channel has been closed. You know, many places that have flood is because the drainage is not working. Some people, there are some things that have blocked the channel for the river. Jesus said, out of your belly shall flow rivers, living water. Not just ordinary water, but living water, lively water. Water that carries life. Water that translates eternal life to the soul. Out of your belly. That's why the believer must guard his belly. Are you getting me? So I'm not saying you should not eat. After all, Jesus was hungered when he met the fig tree. We'll talk about the fig tree today. Jesus was hungry when he met that fig tree. He needed something. And because the fig tree didn't have what he needed, he tossed that fig tree. The fig tree dried up. So Jesus was hungry. So as a natural man, it is normal for you to be hungry. But I'd like to let you know that you must guard your belly. This morning I'm talking about burning lampstands. Burning lampstands. Many people don't guard their belly. Many people take their belly lightly, the matters of their belly. Do you know who your first ancestor was? You know we have the same ancestor. Our first ancestor is the same man. Is the man Adam. Our first ancestor, how did Satan come to lure him to fall? The devil rather came through Eve, through the matters that pertain to the belly. And Eve took the apple and gave to Adam also. The matters of the belly. How did Satan come to the man Esau? Esau was hungry. That was the temptation of the devil. And because of a meal of porridge, Esau sold his birthright. And the Bible said he sought for repentance with tears. He couldn't find it. According to Hebrews. Matters of the belly. Adam lost the Garden of Eden. See how God sent the cherub with a flaming sword. The cherub drove Adam from Eden. The only time Adam will see Eden again is the day of the meeting of the two Adams. You know, a day is coming when two Adams will meet. The first Adam and the last Adam. The first Adam is the man Adam that was created. The last Adam is the one that died and resurrected. That is the creator. The day they will meet, Adam will usher the entirety of creation to the last Adam. The first one will usher us to the last Adam. And he will fall in obeisance. He will fall in holy worship before he must say, behold your redeemed. The ones you have bought with your blood. Because the privilege Adam had, Lucifer did not have. The angels that fell with Lucifer, one third of them, they could not find redemption. But Adam, his lineage, there was a provision for redemption. So Adam will usher us to meet the last Adam, which is the Christ. Can I get it? Okay. Esau, for the matter of belly, he lost his birthright, and Jacob. And when Satan came to the last Adam, what was the first thing he came to tempt him through? He said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And the last Adam knew the real technology of the spirit, and he said, you know, in the but man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth. He knew that the sustenance of man is not bread, but by the eternal words of God. And the last Adam overcame that temptation. So I like to let you know that on your pilgrimage and in your journey with God, if you don't know how to mind your belly, you won't go far with God. If you don't know how to mind your belly, you will end anyhow. Many people, because of what you eat, they have wasted their destinies. Many people, because of hunger, they have sold their souls. And the proverbs, the preacher said in Proverbs that if you be a man, when you come to dine with the king, if you be a man given to appetite, put a knife to your throat. That's the place of discipline. So if you will be a true spiritual man that will navigate into realms and dimensions, you must be given to constraint of appetite. You must not be a man that is given to food. I didn't say you should not eat, but you should not live by food. There are some people that if they don't take 3 square meals a day, it's like they want to die. There are some people that for the past 5 months, God has placed them on a fast. They are still postponing. For the past 5 months, there are some people that cannot successfully fast. But it is from the belly that rivers of living water flow. A particular man of God, he was talking to Dr. Paul Energy. Asked him rather, what was the secret of his miracles and all of that. He said, look at this crusade, I come, I don't eat anything, I just come and minister. At your weakness, his strength is made available. God's strongest in you when you are most weak. You don't understand. So in that time of his mortal weakness, the divine one ascends and clothes him with strength. The scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with the wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. They that wait upon the Lord. There are many ways that you can wait upon the Lord. There is a waiting upon the Lord through the word of God. There is a waiting upon the Lord through prayer. There is the waiting upon the Lord through fasting. Myself and my wife were talking yesterday. Say people have prayer retreats now. It's also important to have Bible retreats. So you can wait upon the Lord in different ways. You can have retreats where you study scripture for like 10 hours. You don't know there's an anointing of the word. There's an anointing that comes by prayer. There's an anointing that comes by fasting. There's an anointing that comes by the word. If you can add these three synergetically together, you see what becomes of your life. Okay, I'm talking about lampstands. Burning lampstand. I want to show you your position before the Father. Let me show you your posture before the Father. Journey with me. First of all, I'll read the first Revelation 1 verses 13. You journey with me. If anyone is using the Amplified to amplify my King James, help me. You can use the Amplified and read for me. Get out the mic. I would like you to be listening attentively. Revelation chapter 1 verse 13. Listen very carefully. Okay, now read.
I have made up my mind to serve you for life.
Amplified. Revelation chapter 1.
Start from 12. Listen, everybody.
Okay. Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me.
John turned to see the person speaking to him.
Then I turned to see whose was the voice that was speaking to me.
Continue.
And on turning, I saw 7 golden lampstands.
Now, John saw 7 golden lampstands. He saw it. Was caught up in the spirit and he saw 7 golden lampstands. Now if you're using King James, you see candlesticks, right? The
yes.
Candlesticks and the lampstands, same thing. Okay, now journey to 13. Listen.
And in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a robe which reached to his feet, and with a girdle of gold about his breast.
Now, the person that is adorned in this manner, John said, I saw one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with garments, down to the foot, and girt with a paps with a golden girdle. This is the appearance of the Christ. In the midst of where the 7 lampstands. In the midst of the 7 lampstands. So we are going to see what the lampstand keep standing. We are going to see what the lampstand signifies. So the Son of God is standing in the midst of the 7 lampstands. In the midst of the 7 lampstands, he is standing in their midst, and he is dressed in this manner. This manner he is dressed, standing upon the altar of God. I've seen the Savior dressed in this manner before. On 12th of December 2012, I was caught up in a revelation where I saw the Lord come to me, dressed in such a robe, guarded with a girdle, wearing a kind of Roman sandals, and he took me to a cleft and showed me the nations. I saw the entire nations of the world. And he said to me, go tell my people that I am coming and that they must acknowledge me. I did not add, I did not subtract. I quote, beginning the quote, go tell my people that I am coming and that they must acknowledge me. I did not hear him say, I am coming soon. He said, tell them I am coming and that they must acknowledge me. It took me 7 years to understand the meaning of that acknowledgement. It took me 7 years to understand what the Savior meant by saying they must acknowledge. He didn't say they should. He said they must acknowledge me. And then I saw the nations in total darkness, and I saw some thoughts of light in different places. And the Spirit of the Lord communicated to me in that revelation and said, this light you see, they are God's children. The Bible says, you are the light of the world, the city set upon the hill that cannot be hid. So the world is lying in gross darkness. If you read Psalm 82 verse 5, they said, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. And all the foundations of the earth are out of course. So the world lies in darkness. That's what the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Because the feet is walking on a dark path. As long as is this present world, the world is in gross darkness. Isaiah said, darkness shall fill the earth, and gross darkness the people. For the Lord shall arise upon you, and glory shall be seen. So that revelation of the Christ made me see how he was robed, how he was dressed, just like John testified here. So you just read verse 13, right? Now journey with me again, Revelation 2 verse 5. Okay, now read verse 20. Listen, everybody listen, read 20 and just 20. Read 20.
That's in Revelation.
Yes, 2. Revelation 1. Everybody listening. We're reading Revelation 1. We've read verse 12 and 13. Now we'll read verse 20. Please, I don't have
okay.
time.
Okay. As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand.
Listen, this is the mystery demystified. Every mystery in God is demystified in the person of Christ. Now, this is the mystery of the stars and the candlestick. Okay, continue.
As to the hidden meaning, the mystery of the seven stars which you saw on my right hand, and the seven lampstands of gold. The seven stars are the seven angels.
Boss, have you heard me in my several teachings tell you that the stars represent angels, right?
Yes.
So the stars are the angels. Those seven stars, actually, the angels, continue. The angel of the seven churches, continue.
The seven stars are the seven angels, messengers of the seven assemblies.
Okay.
That's churches.
Okay.
And the seven lampstands are the seven churches.
Okay, thank you. You can see that for now. For now. The seven lampstands are the what? Seven churches. Are you with me? I want you to follow me. I'm talking about burning lampstands. The seven lampstands are the seven churches. The seven stars are the angels of the church. The question I like to put through to you is that for the seven lampstands to be the seven churches, what actually represents the church? What represents the church? The representation of the church is not actually the edifice. The ecclesia is actually a people. The ecclesia is a people. If you're feeling weak, you just stand up. Feeling weak, you stand up. The lampstands represent the churches. And those churches, I want to bring it not just to a corporate body now, I want to bring it individual. So you are a lampstand before God. I'm a lampstand before God. We all have our candlesticks before the presence of the Father. Are you following me? Now, these are the seven churches. You will do another read. Get to Revelation 2 verse 5. I'm talking about burning lampstands. Read 2 verse 5 now. Read 2 verse 5.
Revelation 2 verse 5.
Yeah.
Remember then from what height you have fallen. Repent. Change. Train the inner man to meet God's will and do the works you did previously when first you knew the Lord, or else I will visit you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you change your mind and repent.
So what did Jesus say here? He gave them a condition, and the condition for not removing their lampstand was actually repentance. So he said he was going to remove their lampstand from its place. So before the presence of the Father, we will stand as lampstands, as candlesticks. There are many whose candles have not been lit for over 3 years, and the Father has been trying to light the candle. Themselves, they are invoking breeze through some transactions, and the breeze is quenching the fire that ought to lit their candlestick. And the Father is trying to engage their candlestick to ensure that it keeps burning, to ensure that their lampstand continues burning. Are you getting the picture? It's just like this is an ancient temple now. We have lampstands here, lampstands, candlesticks everywhere, and all the candles are lit up with fire. And there are some that when you light, you just go, you light, you continue light, and the issue is from the candle, because it's bringing out too much wax and just drying. So you are a lampstand, and there is a degree that you ought to burn before the Lord. You ought to burn before Him, and when you're burning before Him, it shows relevance before Him. It shows that you are engaging the true work of the ministry. You know what the true work of the ministry is? I've told many people. The work of the ministry is beyond going to heal the sick. It's even beyond evangelism. All of that is part of the work of the ministry. But the work of the ministry begins with life. With life. 30 years of age, Jesus had done no miracles. Jesus had healed no sick. He had not started ministry. And he went to be baptized of John. And the Spirit of God came upon him as a dove, and the voice of the Father spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now this man had done no miracles yet. Why was the Father pleased? Life before ministry. Life was in reality in himself. So the Father was pleased in him. His lampstand was burning before God. The lampstand of the Christ was burning before the Father. So I like you, because before when I'm done today, we will go on a real introspection. When I say introspection, you begin to investigate yourself and see that you ensure that your lamp burns properly. That whatever puts off the lamp will be disengaged. I'm talking about burning lampstands. That's distracting me. And he said, "Else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place." So every man has a lampstand, has a place in God. You have your place in God. You have your place in God. He said, "Else I will come quickly and remove your candlestick out of his place." Have you found your place in God? Have you found your place in the kingdom? Have you found the function wherein you ought to function in the kingdom? The Bible, and Paul writing to the church in Corinthians, they say, "Where every man wherein is called, therein should abide." If you've not found your calling by now, then I think you have been wasting time. You should know actually the graces, the gift God has bestowed upon you, and begin to engage it for the use of the kingdom. By that, your candle begins to burn, your lampstand begins to burn. Don't forget, look at it. Verse 5. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works." You see that there is a work to do. There is a work to what? Do. But people don't know there is a work to do. Tell the person by your side, "There is a work to do." Say it seriously. There is a work to do. "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen,
and repent and do the first works. There is a work to do. Jesus realized that there was a work to do. John chapter 9 verse 4, he said, I must walk the works of he that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can walk. So Jesus recognized, realized that there is a work to do, but many of us don't realize that there is a work to do. You think God has called you to just stay the way you are? No. God has actually called you for the sake of his law to engage you in his kingdom. Over that 51 said, and Savior shall arise upon Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, that the kingdoms may be the Lord's. The ascension of Savior. Many people have not ascended yet. Many have not ascended. There's something called spiritual ascension. Many people don't know what they call spiritual ascension. There's a reality called spiritual ascension. If you read Psalm 24, he said, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? Who shall ascend? There is an ascension in the spirit. Men ascend daily. Men ascend daily. By virtue of engaging spiritual protocols, you find yourself ascending daily into realms of light. As you keep ascending, you find your lampstand burning before God. And that lampstand will be serving your generation to lighten their paths. And he said through Isaiah that I have made you a light to the Gentiles. Jesus confirmed the same message to Paul. You are a light to the Gentiles. So you are a lampstand. And as a lampstand, you have a place in God. But is that candle lit? Is there light in that candle? Is that, I tell you, there are many people that are candles. They have stayed many years without them being lit. The father is strongly into. There was a matches box in the house one day that I finished almost one packet. I will light and light and light. Almost one packet, nothing was lighting. I just pick another one. Boom, one hand. The problem was not with me. The problem was with the matchbox. It was wet. So when the father wants to light you up, there are some things you do that wet the atmosphere for fire not to burn. You are not following me. The Lord give you understanding. If you want to understand what I'm saying, carry your matchbox, that matches box. Put it inside water. Then carry one stick, light it. See the magic it will do. If you even use stone to add stone together, it will bring fire before that one. So Father God, as a matchbox, Father God wants to light us up. But there are many things that we engage that wets the lampstand and causes fire not to burn. The essence of the fire is for many reasons, which I cannot stretch all of them now. So I'd like you to recognize that you are a lampstand. But the question is, are you burning before the fire? That's the question. Are you burning before him? Jesus said, I must walk the works of he that sent me while it is day. He knew the urgency of the work. The work comes with urgency. He said the master's work requires works. Urgency. Urgency. It is an urgent work. Acts 10:38. And our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He knew the urgency of the work. He knew the urgency of the kingdom. I was telling somebody yesterday, if God will open your eyes, you will see how many people you know in this life that died and went to hell, that they are burning in hell. All of you, there is somebody you know that died that went to hell. Maybe if God will catch you up in a trance one night, give you 12 hours and counting, and you journey to the beyond, and you see what hell looks like, the next day you come and nobody will tell you to go and preach. Nobody will tell you to start crying for lost souls. You will know the urgency of the king. The business of the king requires urgency. 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 3 years of ministry, see what Jesus did. You are a lampstand before Elohim. Is your candle burning? Is it burning? That's the question. If your candle is not burning, don't forget our message last Sunday on Borrow Time. If you've not listened to that message, I encourage you to listen, because Borrow Time is this message I'm talking about, lampstand, is an extension of the Borrow Time. The fig tree is there for 3 years, not producing. The
the owner of the vineyard came.
Say, I have sought for fruit from my feet that I planted. You are the planting of the Lord. I planted the feet, no fruit. Vineyard dresser, come and cut it off. Vineyard dresser begins to beg and beseech the great one. The vineyard dresser is the person of the Christ. He said, give it time. And the owner of the vineyard said, why kumba it to the ground? Cut it off. He said, no, give it time. Perhaps later this year it will bring. Then if it does not bring, then we can cut it off. I've told us that we are feet. Are you with me? When you hear somebody say fig tree, your mindset will see it as one unproductive tree. I don't think there is any fruit tree as productive as the figs. The fig is an ancient tree. Look at Eve. When Eve and Adam fell, what happened? When Eve and Adam fell, what happened? They took leave from a fig.
I have made up my mind that I will serve you for life. Breed on me, oh Lord. Breed on me. Breed on me, Lord. Breed on me, oh Lord. Breed on me.
When Adam and Eve fell, what did they do? They took leaf from a fig tree, because the fig tree has been as old as the days of Eden. And the master sought for feet, he could not see. And the vineyard dresser pleaded, and he permitted. But guess what? The master was still to come back and still check whether the fig tree is producing. My friend, listen, God comes to check on you, but you don't know. The master comes to check upon you, but maybe you don't know. He came to check upon the fig tree that he planted. You think God will plant you on earth and leave you like this? He comes to check. Many times he sends people to navigate your path and show you the path of righteousness, but many people don't know. They carry blind eyes. I cannot forget, in the year 2009, while I was still in Babylon, I had an encounter. I saw myself living in the middle of nowhere, in a wilderness, but there was a mansion in that wilderness, and I was the person living in that mansion. No other house. You know how desert looks like? No other house. And then I saw a man coming with a white ox, and whilst he came close to the house, the word he called to me is, "Servant, how are you?" I said, "I am fine, my Lord." I called him my Lord. He said, "Servant, what am I hearing from the house?" And the house, Bedu was going on in the house. People were partying in the house. I said, "Master, as they are in the house there that you gave to me, so are they in everybody's house." He said, "Oh, you talk to me in this manner. From hence, you shall have nothing to do with me." And the man entered his house and was about to go. I began to cry. I fell down on my face. I came out of that revelation as an unbeliever. Still, the Lord gave me the interpretation of that revelation. He said, "That house is my body, and my body is the temple of God." And the Lord gave me that word. Many activities were going on in my life. Visiting prostitutes, smoking marijuana, playing cultism, covenant of darkness, different places. Activities were going on. Rather, the word I said to him, "They are Caesar's and February kings." That was the exact word I said to him. Say, as they are in your house, so are they in everybody's house. So he said, so what I was trying to tell the master there is that, as I live my life now, so everybody they do live their life. So we have all been falling short of glory. And the master was not. That day, I cried from 90 morning. I had not known the Lord, but I was crying. I knew that this is not an ordinary encounter. So the master came to visit, and I told him to give me time. The following year again, by that same time, he came again to check up. Then the third year was 2011. When he came again, that one he showed me where I was dead. I said, no. That was the time I surrendered everything and began to follow him. I like you to know that God comes to check up on you, but maybe you don't know. You are a lampstand. He comes to check up on how you are faring, how much you have been adjusting to his will, how much you have been getting aligned to his presence. Don't think God is unaware. No, he is very much aware. He planted the fig, and he wanted fruit from the fig. And Jesus was passing by and saw the fig tree, What did Jesus do? This one was another fig tree. You know, the fig tree also always falls victim to this matter because it's an ancient tree. So the Lord uses it for example. Are we together? So are we together? So listen to me. When Jesus saw that fig tree, what he did was that he went close and he cursed the fig tree. Why did he curse the fig tree? I told us last Sunday in that message, borrowed time. I told us that he did not curse the fig tree because it was not time for figs. Some people say it was the season and the fig tree was fruitless, but that's not it. You saw it, right? It was actually not the time for figs. So the fig tree was not supposed to be producing by then. So then why would Jesus curse it? Jesus caused the fig tree because it was the normal order for figs to produce fruit before leaves. Other trees produce leaves before fruit. Leaves before fruit. But figs is fruit before leaf. So if you see fruit, if you see leaf, means that there is fruit. Are you with me? If you see leaf, know that there is fruit. Fruit has already come before leaves. Like mango, now mango must produce leaves before it produces fruit. Every other poly figs, they produce fruit before leaves. So when Jesus saw the leaves shining from afar, Jesus said, there is fig. Let me go and take. And when Jesus went, he saw that the fig tree deceived him. He said, from henceforth, no man eat of thee anymore. The fig tree deceived the Christ. For he didn't know. Maybe he had that transaction of deception all his life. Maybe all the days of the tree was used to deception, but he didn't know the master was to pass by that day. Many don't know the day the Christ will pass by. You don't know the day he will pass by. I don't know, but utterances like this, as I give, they have to be soul searching. You have to introspect. He didn't know that Jesus will pass by that day. And maybe he had that pattern of deceiving passerby with shiny leaves. And some people that were looking for food, they come close and they will not see. Have you been in the wilderness before and done fasting? How many of you have got the mountain to fast? You will know the value of fruits. When there is nothing to cook, when you climb how many hundreds of kilometers up, hundreds of meters up. I think we've climbed different times mountains that are up to 1,000 meters high in Abuja, different places to go and pray. And when we stay there during the night, the following day will be anytime we have to break fast, we'll go and be looking for fruit trees to pick fruits and eat so that it will satisfy us, so that the hunger will quench. So probably that fig tree had been disappointing people, hungry people, not knowing that the Lord has been counting for it. So that very day, the master passed, demanding figs from him. He didn't want. What am I saying? You are a lampstand before God, and your light needs to burn. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 says, let your light. So you are a let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. You are the light of the world, a city set upon the hill. Not be hid. Matthew 5:14. Can you journey there with me? Matthew 5:14 to 16. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. Why are you the light of the world? Shebi, I told you that I told you in Revelation that the world is in total darkness. The only light the world has today is the believers. If believers are not on earth, God will crush the earth because the earth will have nothing to please him about. Nothing about the earth will be pleasing to him. So you are the light of the world. You, hearing my voice, you are the light of the world. You ought to bring light to the world. A city that is set upon the hill that cannot be healed. Neither do men light a candle. Listen, men do not light a lampstand and put it under a bushel. Put on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Everyone around you, your light actually needs to light in their path. Your light ought to light in the path of people in your vicinity, in your family, in your nation, in your department. If you are here and you can't be a light for the kingdom in your department, then Jesus may not know. If people around your department, faculty in school, cannot see your light, then you are not a believer. Do you know why? I will use scriptures to query you. Matthew 10:32 says, confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. If you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. That's the instruction. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you, said the Lord. So your light ought to give light to everyone around you. The day this scripture came to me, that was the day I began to carry the Bible radically and preach those days. I had not seen this thing, but this scripture gave the light to me that I need to confess Jesus before men. I need to declare him. Luke 16, let your light so shine before men. Turn to the person by your side, say, let your light so shine. Turn to another person, say, let your light so shine. Do you know why he said let your light so shine? It is saying, in other words, allow your light to shine, because you can actually make it not to shine. You have the power. You have the power to cause your light to shine or not to shine. You don't know? So the Bible is saying, let it so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and as a result of that, they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. There are graces God has bestowed upon you. You need to find out those graces. Find out those gifts he has given to you. Begin to use it for the work of the kingdom. Begin to engage it for the growth of the ecclesia. He said, and I will build my church, and the gate of Hades will not prevail. The church is being built. And God built this church with a gift that he gives to men. And he has given gifts to all men. What are those things that God has blessed you with that can glorify Jesus? What are those things he has blessed you with that can glorify the Father? I saw a particular clip that is going on now on social media. That small girl in Imo State that sings. How many of us have seen that video? That young girl that sings. That's a very fine voice. I was watching the girl sing with my wife. I began to cry for the soul of that girl. Oh God, I began to cry for her soul. Because Babylon will reap that girl. Babylon. Before you know, now one producer will buy over the name. Record label will call her. They will give her money, give her car. The family will shout, ah, God has visited our family. But the girl will be journeying to Babylon with her voice, with a gift God has given to her, to go and sing and glorify demons. To go and sing under the utterance of her voice, guys are thinking of girls to sleep. There are some songs you just hear. Maybe you hear them. The utterances, the lyrics from the song itself will begin to navigate you into a dark part. But you're not aware. There are some lyrics you hear. And the kind of song the innocent 15 and 17 years. Small girl. It's all over social media. One of the videos I saw, over 2 million views. Yes, the girl, everybody says she don't blow. Fine. But where she blew? I began to pity the destiny of that small girl, because they will expose her to fame at that very early age, and they will expose her to vain things and the realms of darkness. So there are graces and callings God has given to you. Make sure you engage it for the glory of God and through his glory. You are a lampstand that ought to burn before the Father. Is your candle burning? Is your candle burning? Is your candle burning? Is your candlestick that is as a lampstand before the Father, is it burning? Is it on fire? Or is it quenched? You know how the Holy Ghost does it? He bears witness with our spirit. He tells you whether yours is on fire or not, and you know. You know whether yours is on fire or not, and you know. The Spirit is the one that searches the inward part of the man. Perhaps your candle is not burning. You need to engage it to begin to burn. You need to ask the Father to help you that the candle should begin to burn. Do you know why? Because a generation will be in darkness if your light does not shine. A generation will lie in gross darkness if your light does not shine to them. Isaiah 42:22. This is the people robbed and spoiled. They are all of them snared in holes. They are hidden prison houses. Therefore, a prey, no one is delivering for his spoil. There is no man saying restore. And God has called you to a ministry of restoration. and your light, you are putting it under a bushel. You are wetting a blanket and using it to cover the light. I like that from this meeting, you begin the journey of spiritual ascension. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? The scripture said, it is he that had a clean hands and a pure heart, who has not given up his soul to vanity nor sworn deceitfully. Say, he shall receive the blessing of the Lord. Not the blessings, but he shall receive the blessing of the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. He said, this is the generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob. We are actually known as God's Army Global. Then, in our AKA, we are called This Generation Gospel Christian Network. Why it is called This Generation is that God told me that according to that Psalm 24 verse 6, this is the generation of them that seek thee, that seek thy face, O Jacob. That is looking for a generation of men that will seek him. Come to campus here. We have a generation of people that are seeking mammon. People seeking vanity. Some guy is coming recently to campus and they end up seeking vain things and becoming Yahoo boys, doing diverse rituals. Some guys come innocent like this and take him inside, please. Some guys come innocently to campus like this, and before you know, they, as virgins, they begin to sleep here and there and corrupt their rivers. The Lord is saying he's seeking a generation of seekers, a generation of men that will seek after him. A generation of men that will seek after him. I like you to know that you are a lampstand. The question is your candle burning? Ask yourself that question. The question does not end here. You ask yourself when you go home too. If it is not, then you begin to engage the forces that can cause your candle to burn. Because your candle needs to burn. If it does not burn, listen to me, the story of your family will not change. The story of your family will not change until your candle begins to burn. It's not my mother that had visited her countless false prophets waiting for a deliverer that will help them to see that her daughters begin to get married after a yoke was placed. How that one of my uncles rose up and said to my father, to my parents, that it's not for you to train your children. I walk Hagar school, Hagar Lopad. Say to them face to face. The other one, 38, is not married and all of it. The other one, 36. That yoke was there. I had visited prophets, different places, spent money recklessly. Until I rose as a deliverer in Zion. That was when that yoke got broken. There are many yokes in your family that will not get broken until you rise. It's in your hands. Savior shall arise upon Mount Zion. There is an ascension. They will ascend upon Mount Zion to do one thing, to declare the judgment of God. They will ascend upon Mount Zion to judge the mountains of Esau, the mountains of Edom. Do you know the mountains of Edom? The mountains of Edom are the mountains of witchcraft. They are the mountains of occultism, the mountains of necromancy, the mountains where all warlocks are standing, passing dark judgment into the earth and spheres. And God is saying you will arrive as a savior to judge that mount of Esau. But the purpose is so that the kingdom may be the Lord's. Rise up on the earth. I like you to lift up a cry to God. Say, Father, my lampstand must burn with fire. Ah! My candle must burn. My candle must burn. My candle must burn. Light my candle, O God. Lift up a cry to him. Say, Lord, my candle must burn. Lighten my candle. Light in a time like this, your candle cannot be quenched. Your lampstand cannot be without fire. Leviticus said, fire shall burn upon the altar. Day and night, the fire should not go down. The fire ought not to go down. Has your fire been burning? Has your candle been burning? I tap on the kapwa. La ba 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 bosh. Shekon bele katu kapwa. Ra ba ba bosh. Lekon de te diya kambe. Lombi kambe berakon beta. Apan ba ba ba. Shita da da. Eke de ba ba. Ba ba bosh ke ba ke ba ba. Le bosh ke ba. Le brem de ba. Ikon ba. Lekon de te da. My life must shine. My life must shine. Somebody say my life must shine, oh God. My
light must shine. My light must shine. My light must shine. My light must shine.
My light must shine.
Oh, my light must shine in my generation. My light must shine in my nation. My light must shine. My light must shine. Somebody say the light of my candle. Light of my lamps.
Light of my lamps.
Light of my lamps.
Light of my lamps.
Say, Lord, light of my lamps. You are not even praying. My light must shine in this generation. My light must shine. My light must shine. Say that, let my light shine. Let my light shine. Let my light shine. Let my light shine. My light must shine. My light must shine. Atam pete kaka kaka kaka. Shitum bete kaka kaka. In Jesus' name. Men and brethren, listen to me. Listen, 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 listen. Listen wherever you are. Revelation 2 verse 5. I read it once again. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Some of you probably your light has been shining before. And you fell somewhere. The Lord is saying, it's that same place you fall. It's that same thing you need to still readjust. Because if you don't readjust that same thing, you may not be able to stand. So remember where you fell. Remember how your fall began. Go back to that place and correct it. When I mean go back to that place, it's not by a physical location. Go back to that thing and correct it. And he said, and repent and do the first works. He said, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy lampstand out of his place. There are some lampstands that God goes to remove because he has been struggling to see it lit, but it's not working. And God said, I will remove your lampstand out of his place. You know what it means to remove out of his place? You have a place in God. You have a for you to be here today, you have a place in God. You have been elected for a purpose in God's kingdom. He said, else I will remove your lampstand from his place. And when God removed it, just Esau's journey into taking that, whatever they call it, that courage, remove his lampstand from his place. The lampstand of many men have been taken out of their place. Will you be reckoned as such men? Will you be in the chronicles of men whose lampstand were taken? Myself and my wife were talking about King Saul yesterday. Saul, his lampstand was taken. God said to Saul, go to the Amalekite and kill, destroy everything. And Saul brought King Agagala. And Saul said, oh Lord, and he said to Samuel, behold this, these are the best, these are the fat things, these are the good things of the land. He said, disobedience is not better than Samuel. To obey God is better than bottom. To obey God and keep yourself holy is better than fornicating with a guy, collecting money from him and paying tithes. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And because of that, the lampstand of Saul was taken away. From time past, hitherto, the lampstands of men are taken. So that we will not be reckoned as those men. Look at the lampstand of Judas. Judas walked with the Christ, and the Christ gave him the privilege to be the treasurer of Jesus' ministries. Judas was the treasurer. And when they were to anoint the feet of Jesus, Judas said, no, that oil is too expensive. Let's use it for the poor. And the Bible said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief. So Jesus knew he was a thief all along. But Jesus was allowing him as a lampstand. His light was not on. Jesus allowed Judas. Just like the Father allowed the victim.
Jesus allowed Judas until his hour came. And Jesus looked at him while they were supping the Last Supper. He said, "Thou doest do it quickly. Go and destroy yourself quickly." And Judas went, and that was his last. And he took his life. That was that Judas ended. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 1 that this bishopric of Judas, wherein he has lost, he said his bishopric let another man take. The lampstands of many men have been taken by others. You don't understand me. Many people are taking the place of others. May no man take your place while you are alive. You are saying amen like an unbeliever. I say, may no man take your place while you are alive. There is something God will be demanding from you, and because you are not aligning, God is giving you time. Before you know, the Spirit of the Lord, as he said in the book of Genesis 6, he said, "My spirit shall no longer strive with man." The Holy Ghost will no longer struggle with you. Will just carry that unction and give to another man. And before you know, you believe him, but yet you are dead. The lampstand of many have been taken. The lampstand of many have been taken. The lampstand of many have been taken. Because they did not position themselves. They did not position themselves. He said to Judas, his bishopric, let another man take. And Judas had gone. And they were voting for who will be the next 12 disciples to replace Judas. And they were thinking about it. I'd like you to talk to the Lord this morning. And say, "Lord, my place no man take it. My place no man take it, oh God." Say, "Lord, my place no man take it. No man will take my place. No man will take my place." I'm talking, you think maybe I'm joking, but callings are lost. Men lose callings because of lack of alignment with God. Say, "Lord, my place no man take it. My place no man take it." Lift up a cry to him. Say, "Lord, no man will take my place. No man will take my place, oh God. No man will take my place, hallelujah. You are not praying as though you have been bodied with the rods of righteousness. Say, "Lord, my place no man take it." No man will take my place. No man will take my place. No man take my place. Listen, when I'm talking about no man taking place, you know, you are feeling as though you are too important. I've told us here before, do you know who the firstborn of God is? Do you know his firstborn? I've told you it's Israel. He said to Pharaoh, "You are joking with my firstborn, I will kill your firstborn." Out of all the plagues, no one moved Pharaoh until the day the first son of Pharaoh died. Pharaoh said to Moses, "Oh yeah, leave Egypt." And that was the night Israel left Egypt. The same firstborn of God, which is Israel, the nation of Israel, which Isaiah prophesied and said Israel would be a light to the Gentiles. Today is the Gentiles, not the light to Israel. Do you know by ordinations and calling, do you know I'm not supposed to be here preaching? Do you know it's a Jew that is supposed to preach to you? Oh, you don't understand ordinations. Israel is supposed to be the one preaching. Jesus said, I have not come but for the lordship of Israel. Jesus didn't have business going to Gentile nations to preach. You can't show me one Gentile land Jesus was going to preach. Israel was to carry the gospel to nations, but Israel as a lampstand lost its place. And now Nigerians are going to plant church in Israel and converting Jews. Jews that should be taking the gospel everywhere. Only Jews are supposed to be receiving tithes, you don't know, from the tribe of Levites. Only the Levites should be taking that. But these guys lost their calling. Oh God. They lost their calling for the next 3,000 years. That is if Jesus will come in the next 1,000 years. To make it 2,000 years apart. They lost their ordination. You see, and because of their stubbornness, they were taken away from the holy. And we that were white holies, they grafted in because of their disobedience. If Israel as a lampstand will lose their place, you think you can't lose your place? That's why you need to take it. Any teacher or preacher of the scripture that makes you feel that you can do anyhow in the kingdom is lying to you. The God we serve is a God of order. And Paul's writing to the church in Corinthians, I think 1 Corinthians 15, he said, let all things be done in order. God is a God of order. And if you walk with him, you must walk according to his precepts and his ordinances. No man will take your place. I say, no man will take your place. 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 One last prayer. Say, Lord, let my lampstand burn with fire. All those lampstands that has been with God without fire for many years now, let it begin to be on fire. The fire shall burn on the altar day and night and shall not go out. Let my lampstand burn with fire. Say, Lord, my lampstand may burn with fire. Set my lamp on fire. Set my lamp on fire. Say, Lord, set my heart on fire. Set my lampstand on fire. Let my light burn. Let my lamp burn. Let my lamp burn with relevance. Let my lamp burn with relevance. My lamp must burn with relevance. Lift up a cry to your father. Lift up a cry to you. Lift up a cry to you. Come on.
blessed by this eternal word from God Almighty. For more anointed audio messages from Apostle Christian Woke, visit us at www.gagsermons.com or send us a message on WhatsApp with +234 7032469360. God bless you.